Thank you, Brother James. We very much appreciate the invitation that we received to look into the word of the Lord tonight. Very much appreciate the prayer by Brother Travis. The earlier service, Brother John asked Brother Travis to open with prayer as well, and I was very thankful for that prayer and thankful that Brother Travis prayed for us and many others tonight. If you would please pray for us during this time that we look into the word of the Lord, please turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'd like to begin by reading the first four verses of the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. I appreciated what Brother James had to say after the final hymn concerning this time of year when families gather together and to give thanks for all that the Lord has blessed them with. I'll be honest with you, I know this is my opinion, and my opinion here could be one with criticism and argument, but it's my opinion. I think the time of Thanksgiving is probably as scriptural as any holiday that we have on our calendar here in the United States. I wish we had this the spirit of Thanksgiving every day in our life, 365 days a year, and as long as we live, just a spirit of Thanksgiving. And I know tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I remember my daddy telling me when I was beginning to preach, he said, "You know, son," he said, "don't ever be constrained to be a calendar preacher." And you may ask, "Well, what is a calendar preacher?" Well, according to the definition my dad gave me, a calendar preacher would be one that, you know, every holiday that comes, he's got a sermon concerning that holiday. You know, during the month of December, he's going to preach on the birth of Jesus. At Easter, he's going to preach a sermon on resurrection. Mother's Day about mothers. Father's Day about fathers. And Thanksgiving, he's going to preach something about being thankful. And then my dad followed that up, and he said, but at the same time, he said, don't ever allow anything to restrain you from following the leadership of the Spirit. He said, but in all things, he said, don't be too judgmental of a man and what he would have in his heart to preach. I hope by this effort this evening that someone would not be offended to refer to me as a calendar preacher, but I don't want to I don't want to quench the leadership of the Spirit. I want to trust God. And the subject of Thanksgiving is something that's on my mind right now. I'm trusting it's of the Lord. And if it's not of the Lord, I trust that God would give me enough sense to stop early so you can get in the bed and get some rest and get ready for tomorrow. The Apostle Paul, when he writes this letter, there's four chapters in this letter in our Bible here to the church at Colossae. You know, it's important to first remember the Apostle Paul. We have no scriptural evidence where he ever visited the city of Colossae. You notice in that verse four, since we heard of your faith. See, the Apostle Paul had heard of their faith. If you notice in chapter two, the end of verse one, as have not seen my face in the flesh. This church at Colossae, which is a little northwest of the church at Laodicea there in Asia Minor on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, was one that was established in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was one that was faithful to the Lord, but it was one the Apostle Paul never visited. We don't have any scriptural evidence of that, but it was one the Apostle Paul was very thankful for, and it was one the Apostle Paul commended, but it was one that faced a lot of trouble. They faced a lot of opposition in their effort to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. This congregation that faced this trouble faced it in at least three different contexts from three different groups of people. I mean, they faced opposition from the Roman pagans. Roman paganism was very violent, was strong in opposition to those that would say that there's one God. And the Apostle Paul would encourage these disciples concerning what they believed in the Lord. And if you'll notice with me in chapter 1, in verse 16, the Apostle Paul did not direct their minds to many gods of Roman paganism, but in this letter, he directed their minds to one God. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven or that are in earth, whether visible or invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So the Apostle Paul said that these Roman pagans that are pushing this more than one God, no, there's one God. There's one God. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All things were made by him, and it's by him that all things consist. They're maintained. They also faced opposition from the Greek philosophers, those that claimed to have so much wisdom that they would say so much with few words. The Apostle Paul comforted them concerning that. Notice what he said in chapter 2 and verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?" I can read that and I can almost catch some humor in the Apostle Paul when he's saying, these individuals think they're so smart, but they pale in comparison to the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and our God in heaven. They also faced opposition from the Judaizers and the legalism of the Jews. And the legalism of the Jews was, it's requiring of you something in order to be a one that inherits heaven, to be a child of God. We remember reading there in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1, when there was certain men that came down from Judea that taught the brethren, "Except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you cannot be saved." What they're saying is you cannot be a child of God. You cannot be an heir of promise unless you've been circumcised. And I've used that verse of scripture and compared it to modern legalism and replaced laws and standards people would have today with that circumcised with Moses, and you do no harm to the text. We have the Judaizers and legalists today. You can't be a child of God unless you've done this. You can't be a child of God unless you've done that. Well, the Apostle Paul answers those and comforts these children of God when he says in chapter 2 and verse 10, "But you are complete in him." What is the Apostle Paul saying? Our home in heaven is by God plus nothing. It's by grace and grace alone. The Apostle Paul said there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man suppose." He didn't say it's God plus this and God plus that. It's God plus nothing. We're complete in him. And the Apostle Paul desired in these four chapters to comfort these people that's facing this opposition, which was very, very strong. But it's also applicable to us who face opposition today. I already said the Apostle Paul, we have no evidence that he visited this church at Colossae that was nearer to the church at Laodicea. And you'll notice in chapter 4, this letter, the Apostle Paul desired that letter would be read at the church at Laodicea. Well, how did the Apostle Paul know about the trouble they were facing? There was two disciples, Epaphras and Onesimus, that loved the Lord and loved the church so much. They made this long journey by foot. I mean, somewhere between 12 and 1300 miles. I mean, days upon days, they made it by foot and upon ship. You see, they didn't have Honda cars and they didn't have airplanes back in this time, but they loved the church and they loved the Lord and the truth so much that they made that long journey to where Paul was in prison to get answers concerning the trouble they faced, that they could take it back to the church, that the church would be strengthened. Brothers and sisters, how we should long to follow that example, and how I long to be a member of a church that every member had the same desire for the church that Epaphras and Onesimus had. Well, this church that faced so much trouble, this church that had these ministers of the gospel, these servants that loved them so much, the Apostle Paul thought it was important for them to be reminded that they had a lot to be thankful for. In any trouble that we face, anything that we're going through, just being reminded that we have so much to be thankful for will comfort us in all those things. You know, the spirit of thanksgiving is a godly spirit. Do you remember the Apostle Paul when he wrote to Titus, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, about the characteristics of one not born again? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Those characteristics are people that are not thankful, but they're unthankful and unholy. The wicked are not thankful. They're not thankful. Why? They don't believe in God to thank him for it. No, they are demanding, believing that something is owed to them more than they have. I remember in Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell, and he was had the spirit of wickedness, and his total desire was, you know, send Lazarus here to wet his finger in water to cool my tongue. I mean, he had no spirit of thanksgiving, but a demand that people would give unto him. And, you know, the spirit that we have of entitlement that is just went rampant across the United States of America has not been healthy for the spiritual health of the people, and is completely contrary to a spirit of thanksgiving. It's a carnal spirit. You know, John said, believe not every spirit, for every spirit is not of God. That spirit of entitlement is just not of God. A godly spirit is a thankful spirit. Being thankful is an intricate part of a quality prayer life. You remember there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, when the Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known unto God. Being thankful for what you have is an intricate part of a quality prayer life and communication with God. My mom used to tell me when I would pray at night, she said, if you'll thank God for all that he's given you this day, you'll probably be asleep where you get to a point of just asking for anything. But I am very thankful that I can go to his throne with boldness and confidence in my time of need and make those requests. A spirit of thanksgiving is an intricate part of having a stable life. Back there in Philippians chapter 4, you remember in verse 5, the Apostle Paul makes reference to let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. You know, a moderator gives balance to a meeting. The Apostle Paul is teaching us here how to have stability, sweet stability in our lives, you know. And how many of us would long to have more stability in our life? You know, someone that doesn't have stability, the first time they face trouble, I mean, they just fall apart and just go to pieces. But someone that has a stable life, has moderation to their life, I mean, they face something kind of on just an even plane and say, hey, we'll wake up tomorrow and try it again. Well, in order to have a stable life, we need to have thanksgiving. And tomorrow is the time when we, you know, celebrate Thanksgiving, but we, the children of God, should have that spirit of thanksgiving every day in our life, because we have so much to be thankful for. The Apostle Paul said that verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And in this book, Colossians, he references that thanksgiving at least 4 times. And you, brothers and sisters, I hope tonight that I encourage you that you would be able to find something just to be thankful for. Notice with me in chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What is the Apostle Paul saying to be thankful for? Be thankful for the eternal life that you have. I love that when he says that it's God that's made us meet to be partakers. You know, by nature, we're not fit. We're not fit for heaven. We're not worthy of any of God's grace. You know, Jacob said, I'm not worthy of the least of his mercies and truth. But by the eternal grace of God that's been bestowed upon us, undeserving sinners, we have been made fit for heaven. Do you know, when you get to heaven, dear child of God, because of the grace of God, you won't need anything to be brought in to enjoy that eternal inheritance that's reserved in heaven for you. I've said this many times about the children of God. When you get to heaven, you'll be received into heaven the same way Jesus was received into heaven when he ascended back to heaven there in Acts chapter 1 from the Mount of Olives. When he came there to heaven, he was not stopped at the doors and inspected and looked over. No, he was received in and he sat down at the right hand of God. And because his righteousness has been imputed to you, your life is a life, because that's been imputed to you, is just as if you never sinned. His righteousness is given to you. So when you get to heaven, you're made fit for heaven by his eternal grace. And he hath applied that grace to you, and you being translated into the kingdom of his dear son. This is a particular verse that teaches the kingdom in an eternal context. I realize the word kingdom is used in a church temporal context the majority of the time in the Bible, but here is referring to the eternal context. We have been translated. Let me ask you a question, dear brothers and sisters. This Bible that we have by the providence of God in the English language, it was translated from the original languages into English. How much work did that Bible do in that translation? None. It was the translators that did all the work. How much work have we done to be translated in the kingdom of God in this context? None. The work was done by the translator, and the one that did that translating is God. God did the translating. Our eternal salvation is by grace and grace alone. And if we wake up tomorrow and we're struggling to find anything to be thankful for, I mean, we could have a huge tragedy that could happen in an instant. It was just a few months ago that we had a tornado here in North Carolina that caused over $30,000 worth of damage to our house. Anything like that could happen. But no matter what happens, I can wake up in the morning and be thankful for this, that I've got a hope that I belong to the Lord. And because I have that, my future is secured in heaven in the grace of God. You remember Jesus said there in Luke chapter 10 of those that rejoice when the devils were made subject unto them through his name. He told them in that, rejoice ye not, but rejoice rather in this, in verse 17 and verse 18, rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. You know why? Because the things in this life come and go. But I want to tell you, if your name is written in heaven by the eternal grace of God, and that Lamb's Book of Life was written before the foundation of the world, Jesus came into the world to die for all those that were given to him in that covenant, and that name, your name, is there by the grace of God. Nothing can change that, because the Bible said there's nothing that could separate us from the love of God. And just that hope of that, how it gives us such a rich comfort in our life. You remember Mark chapter 2, when the man that was sick of the palsy, he was paralyzed, he was brought to Jesus. And Jesus, he said, you know, he would be healed of his infirmity, take up your bed and walk. And that's not what Jesus said. That man that was brought to Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. What does that mean? That means he had a bigger problem than just being paralyzed. Our biggest problem we have is with sin. And you know what God has done for us? He took care of the biggest problem we had when he sent his son into this world and he died for us on the cross. Brothers and sisters, that's enough for us to be thankful for the rest of our life, every moment of our life from now on. Turn with me to chapter 2 in verse 7. The Apostle Paul encourages them to be rooted and built up in him. Wow, that's working down and working up. I mean, we need to have a strong root system, but we also need to build up. Established in the faith, and that faith is talking about the truth, the only faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that body of truth, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here's something else we could have thanksgiving for, and abound, and that means being above and beyond, is what we've been blessed to know and have in the truth. What we've been blessed to have in the New Testament church. What we've been blessed to have in our Bibles. Are we thankful for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, not twice delivered to the saints? The truth didn't need reformation. No, it just needs declaration. We need to be declaring the truth. Truth doesn't need to be repaired. No, God's truth never needs to be repaired. It needs declaration and proclamation. It needs people telling the truth. Are we thankful for that faith, that body of truth that was once delivered to the saints? Are we thankful to be part of the New Testament church where that truth is preached every Sunday. I'm very thankful to have a place that I could come and hear the truth preached that comforts my heart, that gives me more assurance in that eternal salvation that I'm thankful for every day. I'm thankful to have a place to go where I can be reminded of the Word of God. And I'm thankful to have this word that I can read it, and I should be thankful and read it. When we read it, we're showing our thanksgiving unto God. When we're at the house of God, we're showing how much thanksgiving we have toward God and what he's given to us right now as children of God. You know, we as Primitive Baptists, we believe in eternal salvation, but we also believe in a right now salvation. I believe there's right now salvation. I remember Brother Dan Bryant told the story, I think it was Brother P.H. Byrd, and another brother went on a preaching trip and said that the family put him in a house, and in that bed, they'd been letting their dog sleep in the bed, and there was a lot of fleas and ticks in those beds, and Brother P.H. Byrd couldn't sleep because all the ticks and the fleas was biting him. And said Brother P.H. Byrd got up in the middle of the night and said, "Lord, I need time salvation, and I need it right now, right now." God gives us right now salvations in the church and in his word. Are we thankful for it? You know, David was thankful for it. David said there in Psalms 119, verse 162, he said, "I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil." He rejoiced that he had God's word to read. Job said in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, "I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Are we thankful for the church that God has blessed us to have? Are we thankful for the word that he's blessed us to read and to have in our hands? Do you realize how many disciples in the Old Testament would have longed to have enjoyed what you enjoy? You know, the Bible says of John the Baptist, "There's none that's born of a woman that's greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John the Baptist was never able to put his hands on a completed word of scripture. John the Baptist was never baptized and never had that opportunity to be baptized like you could be baptized and be part of the New Testament church. John did not live on this side of the resurrection, and we hear about that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and that truth. Abraham and Jacob, Isaac, Elijah, Elisha. You know, Brother Aaron and I, we spoke about Job the other day and how Job, I mean, the only light Job had was through Adam's voice and it passing down from generation, God being in his heart and regeneration and what he was able to see in nature and the judgments of God. Job, don't you think he would have longed to have had the word of God and the church to comfort him and the trouble that he faced? I mean, every time I read through the book of Job, my heart just goes out to the man and what he went through. Brothers and sisters, we have that, and we should show our thanksgiving to God for it. All right, chapter 3. Notice in verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells them to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love that verse of Scripture, and I'm always reminded about my dad. He said, "I could probably teach Esau how to play a guitar." He said, "But there's only one person that can sing with grace in their heart, and that's a born-again child of God." Verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Anything we do. I think that's anything we do. And if it's anything we do, it's probably everything that we have. We should give thanks to God for it. You know, could I not give thanks to God for the precious wife that he blessed me to have? The Bible said he that found a wife found a good thing. Yeah, God blessed me with a good wife. Should not be thankful for my children. The Bible said children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb, his reward. Could not be thankful for the home that I have, that God blessed me to have. You know, God didn't owe this to me, this house I've got here on 4316 Cecilia Road. But God's blessed me to have and to have this roof over my head in times of rain. What about the clothes I have on my back? God didn't owe that to me. God doesn't owe us anything. What about the friends that I have in the church? What about the things that God now has blessed me to be able to do? Should I not do those things, giving thanks to God? You know, even in our secular employment, should we not be thankful for the employment that God has blessed us to have and serve in our employment as though we're serving the Lord and do the right thing always? Should we not be thankful for all that we have and tomorrow, the meals that we're able to eat? I mean, brothers and sisters in Christ, I mean, tomorrow we're going to be able to eat so much turkey that we'll fall asleep. I mean, how many of us you think are going to be hungry tomorrow? I mean, God's blessed us all here to be able to eat so much. I mean, how many children of God in times past have been hungry and not been able to have what we have? And we live here in the United States of America, where we got these liberties, where we can meet together, even in a Zoom service to worship. Do you realize there's children of God that couldn't do in times past, and probably in the world today, what we're doing right now? I mean, there's children of God that couldn't meet in liberty in the church like we'll meet on Sunday morning. So could we not be thankful for all of that? Be thankful for the eternal life we have. Be thankful for the truth that we're blessed to enjoy, the word of God. Be thankful for all our friends and all that we're blessed to do, the health that we have to do those things. And then finally, turn with me to chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul said in verse 2, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. And I trust that the Lord would bless us to be more thankful and to persevere in thanksgiving. Persevere is a good word. Nothing wrong with the word persevere. It's in the Bible. When it comes to the children of God and our eternal salvation, we are eternally preserved. But we who are eternally preserved are called upon by the word of God and the gospel to do the right thing and persevere in the right thing. And may God bless us to run our race, start it and run it all the way until the end, and be like the examples of the Apostle Paul and John the Baptist who finished their course. Let us finish this with a spirit of thanksgiving. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.